Thank you, Inez. The people on live stream are saying they can't hear me, but they could hear you. So need I say more? But take your Bibles, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. I'll try to speak up. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 12 to 14. I'll try to be through by 12. I can't promise you I will. But Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14, the blessings of salvation. Now, in verses 9 through 11 last week, we saw how Paul told us to pray for the saints. Now, in our text today, in verses 12 through 14, Paul thanks God the Father for the salvation of the saints. Man's greatest problem is sin. Every man needs a Savior, right? And that's only one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a problem that never could be solved by human effort, by human works, or by human philosophy, or by human knowledge. It's only cured by putting your faith in the blood of Christ on the cross of Calvary. Now, what we have in verses 12 through 14 is a vivid picture of four or five saving actions of God the Father on our behalf that should cause us to praise God for these blessings. Now, I want you to notice verse 12 again quickly, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us. And it goes on talking about who hath delivers and hath translated and in whom we have. It is a work of God. Now, you may be sitting here thinking, well, I repented of my sins. I believe in Jesus Christ and I believed in the gospel alone for getting me to heaven. But do you know what guarantees your arrival in heaven? What something God did that guarantees the fact that we're all going to heaven if we're saved, right? And you can know that you're going to heaven, right? And God guarantees that. But what happened? We see five aspects of that in our text, why we're guaranteed. We know we're going to heaven, but what exactly happened to guarantee our arrival in heaven? First one, number one, he qualified us. Look in verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to partakers of inheritance of the saints. That word there, made us meet, in the King James, means to qualify. He qualified us. He made sufficient to empower, to make fit. He did not qualify, we did not qualify ourselves, but he did. He qualified us through the grace of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And there's no degrees of fitness. When I got born again, I am qualified. I don't have to wait to see if I qualified. I am qualified, and you are qualified. You are in Christ, inseparable union with Jesus Christ. And he qualified us for an inheritance, verse 12 tells us. This inheritance is not purchased or earned. It is an undeserved gift. Look what it says in the latter part of verse 12. And hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We have an inheritance right now. We have an inheritance laid up for us in heaven. And we are an inheritance to the Lord Jesus Christ. Eight times in the Gospel of John, especially in chapter 17, we refer to those who have been given to the Son by the Father. This inheritance belongs to one group, those separated from the world and set apart unto God. Saints in light speaks of truth and holiness, right? And once we're saved, we can understand what's going on in the world. We can understand what our Bible says. You'll get confounded if you listen to the world because they have a different message because they come from the depraved mind. They're lost and don't understand. So whatever they propagate out to you is not what God wants you to know, right? What he wants us to know, I needed an amen right there. Amen. I got an amen in Sunday school right on that one, right? But we are an inheritance and we have an inheritance. And then there's so much more that he's going to give us when we get to heaven. Our guarantee of this inheritance is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So the first thing we see in our text, one of the saving actions of God here is that he qualified us. Number two, he delivered us. He delivered us. Y'all hang on, it's going to get gooder and gooder. Look in verse 13 in our text. who have delivered us from the power of darkness. Not only are we made us meet or qualified for this inheritance, but he delivered us from the power of darkness. The word deliver there means, talks about rescued from danger or to draw to oneself. We couldn't deliver ourselves from the guilt and the penalty of sin. Only Christ could do that. It is Christ who, through the cross, that delivered us from the bondage of sin, hell, death, and the grave. We were in danger of spending eternity apart from God. But this word deliver here means two things. Number one, God drew us out of Satan's kingdom into himself. That event was called the new birth. We were not progressively delivered, but instantly delivered. You don't have to, like the Catholics believe, you don't have to wait to see if you're going to get to heaven. You can know you're going to heaven, amen? And you can know it right now, and that should affect how you live, right? You are in Christ. You are being sanctified. You are going to be glorified one day in his presence, be delivered from the bondage of sin forever. Just think about heaven. One thing about heaven is there'll be no sin there, amen? No sin there whatsoever. So God drew us out of Satan's kingdom of himself. Now, what else does this word deliver mean? Well, we were delivered from the authority of Satan and the power of darkness, the domain of darkness. Darkness speaks of spiritual deadness and ignorance. And we see it all over our world today. You see it on display, on your TV and radio. Everywhere you see it, you see darkness, right? Because that's the only thing that lost people can do. They can display darkness, right? That's the only thing they can do. Darkness speaks of bondage to sin and to Satan. But Jesus shattered Satan's power over death by the cross and the resurrection. And when we believe, this victory is given to us, and we are instantly delivered by position in Christ. We are in Christ. And we're being freed from the power of sin. One day we'll be freed from sin's very presence, right? So he delivered us. See? That's how we know we're going to heaven. That's what God did for us. He qualified us, and then he delivered us out of the kingdom of darkness. And then he also translated us. Look in verse 13. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness, and here it is, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. He took us out of the domain and the realm of lostness and bondage of sin. He rescued us there, and he placed us in the kingdom of his dear Son. And that's what God has done for us. The word "half" translated us means to move or to change. Jesus Christ did not release us from the bondage only to have us wander aimlessly, right? You're on your own, right? No, he took us out of the kingdom of darkness and put us in the kingdom of light. And the Bible says that he moved us into his own kingdom of light, not of darkness no more. Don't listen to that world out there. They're in darkness, folks. Has a politician, and I know I'm on live stream and I don't give a rip, but I want to tell you something. Has the corrupt world ever told you the truth, right? They have not, right? I'm going to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. And he moved us into his own kingdom of light and made us victors over Satan's kingdom of darkness. The kingdom will be a literal kingdom one day. Right now we're in the kingdom of God. We're in the realm of his lordship. And we are his subjects and Jesus is our king. And we serve him. We are slaves to him. But one day there's coming the millennial kingdom, the literal kingdom that Israel's been looking for and is promised in the book of Revelation. Well, Christ will reign and rule for 1,000 years from the nation, from Jerusalem. And then after that comes the eternal state. Well, we're going to be in heaven, eternal state, the abode of the righteous forever and forever. Now, notice something there in verse 12 and 13. Note that word half, H-A-F-T. H-A-T-F, and the word have. Look at it again there, how many times it's used. He says, look in verse 13, who hath delivered us and hath translated us, and we have redemption. That tells us that he is the one doing it. He is the one qualified, who qualified us, only one qualified to qualify us. He's delivered us, he's translated us, and he will accomplish us and take us to heaven. Amen? If you're sitting here today and you don't know you're going to heaven, you need to know. And I can talk with you after the service how you can know if you're going to heaven. But I'm telling you something. He is the one who did all this for you, and he's not going to take it back. Right? You are going. That phrase in his dear son there also speaks, can be translated the son of his love. You know, at the baptism, at the cross and transfiguration, Jesus Christ heard the beloved voice of his Father saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And that's the voice that we're going to hear one day. The fact reminds us of the price that the Father paid when he gave his own dear Son for our salvation. So he qualified us, he delivered us, he translated us, and then he redeemed us. I'm sped up here this morning trying to get a louder. Can they hear me on live stream? Okay, thumbs up. It's better than a thumbs down. Thumbs down means I fed to the lions, right? But this word means to deliver or release a prisoner by the payment of a ransom. He redeemed us. Look in verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Paul did not suggest that Jesus paid the ransom to Satan. That's what many people teach, but that's not the case. The payment was made to a righteous God who deserved that the sinner be punished. Christ is our propitiation. He satisfied the Father's wrath, and deserving rightly so that the sinner be punished. But Christ took our chastisement for us. He took our wrath for him. And the Bible says, by his death and resurrection, Jesus met the holy man's demands of God's holy law. That's how you go to heaven, folks. It doesn't matter at all how many of us die, but when the Lord Jesus Christ died, and he died for a people called the church, then we believe in him, repent of our sins, we go to heaven by his work on the cross, right? And he had to bleed, and he had to die. The price is not paid to Satan. Satan would never let you go. Price was paid to the Father in appeasement for sin, that you and I might go to heaven. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And we know that Satan seeks to accuse us and imprison us because he knows we are guilty of breaking God's law. But the ransom has been paid on Calvary, and through faith in Jesus Christ we have been set free. Let me share some verses with you quickly. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life, what? A ransom for many. Not universal salvation, but ransom for many. Not all will believe. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He was cursed for us. Titus 2:14 says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, jealous of every good works. This is how we know we're going to heaven, folks. And then lastly, he forgave us. See, he couldn't forgive us until all those other four things were accomplished. Look in verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood. The blood had to be shed, right? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins, right? Christ just couldn't die of old age. He couldn't just get run over by a donkey. Christ had to shed his blood and die for the testimony of the New Testament of the testator to come into effect. Do you know if you're heir of anybody's will, you can't get it until they die, right? And that's what happened with Christ, right? Redemption and forgiveness go together. The word translated forgiveness means to send away or to cancel a debt. Our sin was put behind the back of God, never to be seen. Cast away as far as the east is to the west. And remember that, all that Old Testament, the priest would put the hands on the two goats. He put his hands on one goat, symbolizing the transfer of sin to that goat, and that scapegoat would run off into the wilderness, never to be seen again. That's a picture of what Christ would do on Calvary. And they missed it, didn't they? So it was sent away. Christ has not only set us free and transferred us to a new kingdom, but he has canceled every debt so we cannot be enslaved again. Now, you will sin. You say, duh, Pastor, tell me something I don't know. You will sin again, and I will sin again. But we have an advocate, Bible says, 1 John, who's ready to forgive us if we come to him and ask him for forgiveness. Amen? Before we got saved, we didn't have no advocate, lawyer for the defense. We had nobody in our stead. We had no high priest. But now we have the high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. God's forgiveness of sinners is an act of his grace and his mercy. He did not deserve. We don't deserve to be forgiven. Nor can we earn forgiveness. And by the way, let me say this. Forgiveness is not an excuse for sin. Say, well, I'm going to be forgiven for it, so I'll just go ahead and commit it. Rather, it's an encouragement for obedience. It's an encouragement not to sin, right? Because of what Christ did for you. And here's a hook. I want you to listen to this. And because we have been forgiven much, we should forgive others. Amen? A believer who won't forgive others, who has repented and confessed that sin to them, is in very, very, very strange place and a dangerous place. Okay? So when we think of these wonderful saving actions of Christ, he qualified us, he delivered us out. He didn't just deliver us and just have us out there hanging. He also translated us, placed us in the kingdom of his dear son. He redeemed us. He bought us back off the slave market of sin by the blood of his son. He forgave us to be forgiven. Have you ever confessed, when you confessed your sins to Jesus when you got saved, didn't you feel like a burden was lifted off of you, right? Right? Boy, you know, you could have been the best singer in the church at that moment, right? But what about when you forgive someone else and they know that you forgive them? And that's taken off as well, right? You know, I found out in my life that if I hold a grudge against anyone, then it's going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt them. You know? It's like I told somebody in our family one day, nobody in my immediate family, she come over to the house and complain about this, complain about that. I don't want to be around these bunch of grumpy old complainers, do you? You know, what kind of life do they have? And they come over and finally, I said, you're letting so-and-so live rent-free in your head. You ever heard that comment? There are a lot of people running around letting people that have hurt them live rent-free in their head, and they're being more hurt, right? And the other person don't even know what's going on, right? Living rent-free in your head. Listen, folks, anybody we need to forgive, you need to forgive them, right? Well, they didn't come to me and say what all, you know, they told me, you know. Just forgive them, release them, right? And you'll be able to sing and fly like a little bird, a little canary, right? When that happens. These are wonderful truths. Do you see it? This is how we know we're going to heaven. He qualified us, he delivered us, he translated us, he redeemed us, and he forgave us. How can we not give him thanks for so great a salvation? Amen. Father, I pray that as our musicians come this morning, the altar is open. Maybe someone wants to come and say, you know, I didn't really appreciate my salvation until this morning. I didn't really know what Christ has done for me on the cross. Maybe there's someone in your life you need to forgive. Maybe there's someone that you need to go to, whatever it might be. You cannot call yourselves a child of God and hold forgiveness from somebody. You can't. It won't happen. Father, I pray this morning. The altar is open. I pray people will come do business with you. And we ask these in the name of Jesus. Amen.